Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Take advantage of the Bible studies there. Make sure you watch that short video, 10-minute video there. I think it's a very important video, and I hope you'll enjoy that, and it enlightens you somewhat as to what this program is about, what the scripture is about, what the faithful believe, and why we believe in a virgin birth. And many of the prime tenets of the faith. Okay, we're in Joshua here, so let's pick up where we left off. We're in chapter 11, in verse 12. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword. And yes, the Heavenly Father told them that they could take the cattle and divide up the spoil. And, of course, they were to destroy anything that was profane, of course. Let's see. So, every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As Yahweh commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that Yahuwah commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even to Baal God in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and all other they took in battle. For it was of Yahuwah to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And of course, why did he harden their hearts? And I've heard people go, but it was God who hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He shouldn't have done that to him. You know, of course, bringing an accusation, who are we? You know, can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? That's what it's like when people question God. Why did he harden their hearts? Because they were totally wicked. When you harden something, you set it in the way it already is, that it doesn't change its mind, that it doesn't repent. They were unrepentant in their unrighteousness, in their wicked ways, in the things that they were practicing. They were totally debased, like Sodom and Gomorrah, totally gone, so that there was no hope for them. And of course, we see that there was a difference with, say, Rahab, the harlot. And yeah, she was saved alive. She feared God. You know, she feared the God of the Israelites. So her heart wasn't hardened. How about those Gibeonites? Well, man, they said, you know, we gotta go make peace. We gotta serve these people's God because, you know, we gotta do it in whatever way they can because we see they're here to slay all the inhabitants of the land. We have to somehow get them to agree not to kill us, even if we have to deceive them into making an agreement with us, which they did. So there is a difference there. Their hearts weren't hardened. For it was of Yahuwah to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that they might destroy them utterly, and they may have no favor, but he might destroy them as he commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains of Hebron, and from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Joshua chapter 12 and verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote, and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even to the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, or the Ammonites, and from the plain to the sea of Chinneroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth, at Edrei. And of course, those giants, they said we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Those are the ones that the spies 40 years before fainted at and said, we can't do it. And of course, the one who said they could do it, Joshua and Caleb, of course, are now in the land, and they have done it. So, and reigned at the mouth Hermon with Salcah and in all Bashan unto the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. And perhaps reading through this, it would be better to have a map in front of you. But for now, I'll, you know, can't show you a map on the radio. If I had a map, I'd put it on the wall and I'd get out my laser pointer and perhaps point all this out to you. Okay, them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and we're in chapter 12, verse 6, and the servant of the Lord and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of Yahuwah, gave it for a possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these, the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side of the Jordan, on the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even to the Mount Halak, going up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains, okay, so we have one side before they crossed the Jordan, and we just read those that they took there. And now we have the ones where they crossed over the Jordan to take. So they have both sides of the Jordan that were given to the children of Israel for a possession forever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes forever ain't a very long time, but it just means, you know, forever, as far as I'm concerned, as long as they were obedient. If they were obedient forever, then it would be theirs forever. But there's a lot of debate about what it means and whether Israel will be a nation again and all of that. And, you know, that's a whole nother debate for a whole nother study. And perhaps we'll get into that sometime. So in the mountains of the valleys, in the plains, in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel won. I don't know why they keep saying won. The king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won. So are you counting here? Jarmuth won, Lachish won, Aglon won, the king of Gezer won, Deber 1, the king of Geder 1, Hormah 1, the king of Arad 1. And basically, you know, these are all tribes built on families, basically, or at least started out as families. And you see there's a lot of tribes in the land because there's a lot of ones here. The king of Arad, Libnah, Adullam, Makkedah, Bethel, Tappuah, Hepher, Aphek, Lasharon, Madon, Hazor, Shimron, Meron, 1, the king of Akshaph, 1, the king of Tanakh, 1, the king of Megiddo, 1, Megiddo, 1, Kadesh, 1, the king of Jokneam, 1, of Carmel, 1, of Dor, on the east of coast of Dor, 1, the king of the nations of Gilgal, 1, the king of Tisra, 1, all the kings, 30 and 1. So they conquered 30 and 1 tribes with 30 and 1 kings. And that's the end of chapter 12. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And you remember, Joshua was a man. He was of the men of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And perhaps he was a young man when he came out of Egypt, perhaps in his 20s, 30s. Don't really know. We'll find out here. And so this is 40 years later. So Joshua was old and stricken in years. So we know Joshua's perhaps at least in his 60s, 70s, perhaps older than that. And Yahuwah said unto him, Thou art old, stricken in years, and there remaineth yet not very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshuri. And of course, we know they're fighting Philistines way into the future. From Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, 5 lords of the Philistines, of the Gazarites, the Ashdothites, and you know, they're still over there in the land fighting some of these people today. I mean, the Gazathites, yeah, I think I keep hearing about Gaza. What about you? Hearing about that in the news over there? The Ashkelonites, not that this is the same nation of Israel, because they're nowhere near this nation. The nation of Israel then stumbled at the sin of one man when they came into the land. And you're talking about a righteous, a nation set apart that put away the unclean thing, where the sin of one man caused the whole nation to stumble. And they searched out that man, and he came forward, and he repented, or he at least confessed his sin, and they put him and his family to death right there. Man, nothing like that in the land today, I'll tell you. Nothing to compare with it. And let's hope that his holy nation, because that's what he's looking for in the earth today, a holy nation that will set themselves apart, that will have clean hands and pure hearts as Israel did at that time. They had clean hands. One man dirtied his hands and the whole nation fell until it was found out. That's right. Man, talk about a holy nation. So Joshua was old, stricken in his years, and let's see, verse chapter 13, and verse, we'll just pick up there. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the border of the Philistines, and all Geshuri, Sihor, which is before Egypt, even to the borders of Ekron, northward and counted to the Canaanite, 5 lords of the Philistines, the Gazaites, the Ashdothites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south all the land of the Canaanites, and Merah, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal Gad, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Misrephoth Maim, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide it thou by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and half tribe of Manasseh, because the other tribes that weren't included in the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh had already taken their inheritance on the first side before they crossed the Jordan, with whom the Reubenite and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses the servant of Yahuwah the Lord gave them. From Aor, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, the city that is in the midst of the river, all the plain of Medeba to Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon unto the border of the children of Ammon, and Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, unto Salcah, and the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth, and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants. For these did Moses smite and cast them out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwelled among the Israelites until this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifice of Yahuwah, God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben an inheritance according to their families, and their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, all the plain by Medeba, and Heshbon, and all her cities that are in the plain, Dibon, and Bemoth Baal, and Beth Baal Meon, and Jehazah, and Kedermoth, and Mephaath, and Kirjathiam, and Sibma, and Zereth Shehar, in the mount of the valley, and Beth Peor, and Ashdoth Pisgah, and Beth Deshemoth, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote, with the prince of Midian, and Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. Balaam, and the king of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben, after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance to the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. And their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon, and Aroer, that is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon even unto Ramath Mizpah, and Bentanim, and from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir, and in the valley of Beth Aram, and Beth Nimrah, and Sukkoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, Jordan, and his border, unto the edge of the sea of Chinneroth, on the other side of Jordan, eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad, after their families, their cities, and their villages. And that's a mouthful. If you had a map, you could see the borders, and you could look at it for yourself if you find all of that interesting. Well, I would find it interesting if I was there, and the Heavenly Father had given us the land, and because, you don't know, I love the land. I really do. I could say I'm a lover of the land because our wealth comes from the land. Our liberty is in the land. If you don't have land, you have no liberty, because then you have a landlord. And that's why property rights and land was so important to the people of God, and so much of their law concerned the land because of the liberty that they found in it, that they did not have to be a servant or a serf in the land, having a landlord over them. And all wealth comes from the land. And if you don't have the land, how can you get wealth out of it? There you go. So land is very important. And if the Heavenly Father gives you a piece of land, well, then you are blessed in that gift that He's given you. And hopefully you can derive some wealth out of it. So land was very important to the people of Israel. They had not had a land until now. They had only a promise of land, and the best land. Land where He would drive the evil inhabitants out of, to give it to them. So Moses gave the inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. This was a possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their family. And their coast was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 70 cities, and half Gilead and Ashtaroth of Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the tribe of Machir by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. Yahuwah, God of Israel, was their inheritance, as He said unto them. And these are the country which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eliezer the priest, and as you can see, we're going to go on sometime talking about the lands and how they were divided up, but our commitment here is to go through the entire scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And so sometimes it can get a little seemingly monotonous as we go through it. But I believe there is treasure in what seems to be monotonous. Much like the genealogies in the scripture and going through them. But they are there for a reason, and our Heavenly Father thought it wise to put them there. So we will go through them, and perhaps we will find out the reason. As much as with the genealogies, we know the reason for the genealogies from the beginning and up until the Messiah. And we know the reason that there are no genealogies after the Messiah, because it is no longer important. The genealogies were only for the Messiah, to show from where He came. After that, our Heavenly Father makes no difference, because obedience is better than sacrifice, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'll leave you with that. And as always, in everything you say and everything you do, hallelujah.